Welcome back to Proclaiming the One, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline, Vicar Bader. We're looking at the readings for the third Sunday of Easter. In part one of this episode, we looked at the introit for the third Sunday of Easter, sections of Psalm 33. In part two, we looked at the gospel reading, John 10, 11 to 16. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In part three, we looked at the Old Testament reading, Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel's picture of the good shepherd, where God says, I myself will do it. And we know that he does it in the person and work of his son, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In this final segment, we're going to be looking at the epistle reading for the third Sunday of Easter, 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. You'll see that this also carries along that sheep shepherd imagery that we're looking at on this steadfast love of the Lord Sunday, Miscordius Domini. Be reminded that our Proclaiming the One radio programs, archives, our worship services here at Good Shepherd, as well as any other self-generated programs that we do here at Good Shepherd, including but not limited to the newest edition, the music theology combo that Pastor Moline has been working on and has already made its debut, Bringing Bach Back. Check out the archive sections and enjoy www.thecross957.org. Vicar, we want to look in our final segment here at the epistle reading, 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. Please.
For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
We have that straying connection there at the end of 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25, and that makes us think about that straying picture and imagery from Ezekiel 34, how God says, I myself will go after the straying sheep. But that really comes toward the end here, and that's almost an afterthought. At the beginning, we have a topic that Christians don't like to deal with. We have a topic that Christians are sometimes very uncomfortable with and would just as soon avoid. As we've said numerous times here, the epistle reading is very often, I would go so far as to say 99.9% of the time, a practical application of everything that we've read so far. And the practical application of the fact that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the practical application for the Christian of the fact that we hear his voice and follow him, the practical application of the fact that we know and cling to the chesed, the steadfast love of the Lord, is that, are you ready for this? Sit down, buckle up, brace yourself. We will suffer. We will suffer. First Peter is written to a bunch of Christians who are suffering tremendous persecution. For to this you have been called. Pastor, the this here is suffering, which is clear by the second part of the voice. Can you give us a little background as to the kind of suffering that early Christians endured and how that might connect us to the suffering that Christians endure today?
And especially this verse, this refers to the verse right before that where what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it and you endure, but if when you do good and you suffer for it you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. The suffering that early Christians face is rather difficult to think about and consider, especially started to increase under the reign of Emperor Nero. He blamed the burning of Rome upon Christians, and St. Peter himself will be killed for that. There were Christians in that persecution that were used as torches to light the streets. They were crucified. Peter himself crucified upside down. They were fed to beasts. The Flavian Amphitheater, the Colosseum, was not built yet, but it happened in the Circus Maximus and in other places in Rome. In Israel, we know St. Stephen was stoned to death for confessing the faith. We had other Christians who were beaten and killed for the faith, and it even increases after the time of St. Peter, where Christians are skinned alive. St. Lawrence is famous for being grilled alive. He made the great confession halfway through his martyrdom: I'm done on this side, flip me over. Just kind of a brave thing to say, mocking death, because his faith was in Jesus and in the resurrection, and he knew that the things he was facing was not his ultimate end.
The kind of suffering that we as Christians today endure are very, very pale in comparison. You know, when our cable TV goes out for a weekend, we think we are suffering. When we have persistent toenail fungus, we think we are suffering. The kind of things that we label and classify as suffering, I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And what, if I'm hearing you right, Pastor, the kind of suffering you're talking about here is specifically the suffering that we endure from the devil, the world, and our flesh because we are making the good confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that correct?
That's correct. And just to be clear, you know, we talked about the ancient suffering. That still happens today. ISIS crucified Christians in the parts of Syria and Iraq that they captured. ISIS beheaded 40 Christians on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. In China, there's Christians who have been in prisons without food for long periods of time, suffering, just surviving on the bare minimums. This similar thing sort of happened in Soviet Russia in the past as well, as the church was stomped out and eliminated and tried to be gotten rid of. And so don't think these sorts of things don't still happen. And one step more, don't think that they couldn't happen even here in the United States to us Christians today.
And take pause right now as you're hearing this program and give thanks for the fact that we enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. We are not being actively and openly persecuted for our confession of Jesus Christ. And there are many of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world who are, and offer up a prayer that God would protect them and keep them strong in the faith. We have so much that we take for granted here in the Lutheran Church, in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the United States of America. Jesus as example. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Vicar, we don't often talk about Jesus as example because Jesus is so much more than an example. He's our Savior. Why is it a problem if we fail to think about Jesus ever as our example?
Because then we'll have nothing to strive for in this life. How would we know how to live and how to be Christians if we were not mirroring or trying to mirror Christ and what he has done for us?
He We have multiple commands in Scripture. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. How do we know what that holiness looks like? Well, we look to the Ten Commandments, but we also look to the example of Jesus Christ. And now we have a specific example that is given here in our text about how we should live our lives with regard to the example of Jesus Christ. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And now here's the toughie, verse 23. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Pastor, this is the example of Jesus, and these words are true here in 1 Peter 2. Is there any way that I can live up to that example that Jesus gives me? I want to pay an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Well, it's an interesting question that you've asked in that regard. On your own, no. You mean that you would automatically think if someone is persecuting you, you'd think they deserve worse than whatever you're getting. But the reality then is, and we see this in some of the ancient accounts of martyrs, is that when the martyrdom is coming and happening, in faith, a Christian can follow the example of Christ. And we need to make sure, too, that this is made clear that the example of Christ also means you don't seek it out for yourself. You don't go and try to get yourself martyred. If it finds you, that's God's will, so be it. But you don't purposely put yourself in the position to be martyred. And when that time comes, in faith, God gives the strength to carry you through that martyrdom and into eternal life that comes later. And that's only by faith that you can get through that martyrdom or persecution in an honorable fashion.
The only way that we can live up to this example, even partially, is in verse 24, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Vicar, what are we talking about when God exhorts us to die to sin and live for righteousness?
Well, for us today, it would start by each and every day remembering our baptism, how that God has killed that old Adam, that old Eve, by drowning it in the waters of our baptism, and raised us up as a new creature to live before him in righteousness and purity forever. And that's what we do daily in this life, as we continually confess our sins and have faith that clings to Christ in the forgiveness of those sins.
The last verse of our epistle reading, Pastor, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How did that happen? Did I find the right path? Did I make the right decision? Did I pray the right prayer? Did I open up the Gideon Bible to the right page? How did this happen? How did I return to the shepherd, the good shepherd and overseer of my soul?
The Holy Spirit called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, and sanctified and brought you into the one true faith. You yourself could not, by your own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him. It has to be the Holy Spirit's work through word and sacrament.
Thanks be to God that God does it all. Otherwise, if any of it were up to us, how would we know that we had ever done enough? We would live our lives constantly in doubt. Vicar, would you close us off with the collect of the day for the third Sunday of Easter?
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
For Pastor Moline and Vicar Bader, I am Pastor Poppy. Thank you for tuning in to Proclaiming the One, third Sunday of Easter. So Sunday morning when you get up, read your paper, drink your coffee, pray for your pastor, and go to church and experience the steadfast love of the Lord for you. God's blessings in Christ. Amen.